Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Coming to you from an undisclosed broadcast location. One voice, delivering truth and pain. Presented by Guns.com. Trusted by millions of gun owners nationwide. This is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
All right, good afternoon. From the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. This is the first time today where we get to do this for the first time. I've been looking to have somebody from the Firearm Policy Coalition come on the show, and I get to have the director of legal policy. His name is Matthew LaRussiere. How are you doing, sir?
Howdy, sir. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I've been very impressed with the way you guys employ your force, your direction, everything you go, but you also seem to be everywhere. How are you managing to be everywhere before we get into details here?
Well, there's a lot of caffeine involved.
I understand.
Yeah.
But I understand that.
We've been able to build up our team, and, you know, we've got issue area experts spread out across the country, and it's still a very small team, but we've just got about 30 people just working their butts off, and like I said, there's a lot of black coffee involved.
You guys are also doing a lot of the legal legwork, getting in there, bringing suit against people, which is something Second Amendment Foundation is pretty good at. You guys seem to be pretty good at it.
We're doing God's work, keeping the government in its place.
There you go. Well, let's talk a little bit about God's work. Let's talk about a detail. Let's talk about the latest gun control from the Biden administration, including some of the stuff that he's got the ATF trying to do and his new anti-gun ATF director he's trying to nominate.
For sure.
Tell me about him. Tell me what you guys...
The big concern here, and, you know, the thing that's made the most headlines, is the new ATF framer receiver ruling, where they've taken one sentence of law, right? One little tiny component, and using a administrative rulemaking, which is a process intended to clarify, right, the law, tortured this with a 360-some-odd page document that somehow twists this sentence to, severely regulate the ability of companies to sell things that are not firearms, but that people can at home turn into firearms. And it's extremely unprecedented and, frankly, ridiculous. This is a massive exercise of administrative overreach, and as many of your listeners are aware, it's not Congress that is creating the majority of effective regulations for people to follow, but it is the administrative branch, which is, you know, unelected bureaucrats that are responsible for the majority of new restrictions that people are compelled to follow. And something tells me that's not what the founders intended when they, you know, separated our government out.
Yeah, I would have to say that you're probably correct on that one. The Biden administration is, with the exception of the, they're actually pretty tone deaf, aren't they?
It certainly feels that way. What would you mean in specific?
Well, I mean, I've always looked at it this way, or I have been looking at it this way. You've heard of Cloward and Piven, that little economic crash they tried to, that they designed to crash the system so they could have socialism?
I focus on the gun.
I understand.
The gun side.
Well, this is probably before your time. I look at what's going on in places like New York and California and all these other places where they have all these anti-gun DAs, pro-crime DAs. They're letting people, they've got bail reform, they've got all these other things happening, and I think they thought that what was going to happen was people were going to run to them and say, oh, please, God, protect us, and we don't care what you take from us. sort of like they did with COVID, right? I always thought COVID was an info operation. And instead of getting that, they got 15 million new gun owners. And the country has no taste for any more gun control. And here we got the Biden administration still doing this and going after things like ghost guns, which I can't wait for them to. Are you guys going to file suit on that one as well? That would be a fun one just to watch that one.
Oh, well, we certainly intend to. And just me personally, I'm deeply involved with the home gun making community. I actually have my own designs for 3D printable firearms. And while the rule doesn't directly target 3D printing, it's very clear that the ATF, especially at present, has naked contempt for Americans making their own guns.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, if we have the right to keep and bear something that necessarily includes the right to acquire it, and what purer way to acquire something is there than to just make it yourself?
Yeah. I can't wait to see that one. That predates the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, all that other stuff. We've always made guns at home, haven't we?
Oh, absolutely. And we've been doing it with what you might call 80% guns. And a lot of people aren't aware of this. You know, then people have said, oh, the founders could have never foreseen this 80% kit. Well, that's entirely ridiculous because around the time of the founding, you know, you had flintlocks, matchlocks, that sort of thing. The most complicated component to make was the lock. And so you would have people here importing barrels of these locks from European lockmakers and then in their home shops assembling them into firearms. So not only is home gun making foundational to our country, this exact type of home gun making is foundational to our country.
Yeah. I'm glad that you guys are focusing in on that one. There's some other stuff that you're focusing in on that we're going to cover in the remainder of this hour. But do you think we're going to see anything of any substance come out of the Biden administration prior to the 22 election?
Well, what do you mean on substance? I mean, there's still the pistol brace rule that is yet to.
There you go.
Come out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've seen that, and I mean, they've actually published that. I just don't know what it means when they get out there, because they're saying basically, we'll know it when we see it, right? That's
right. We're waiting on the final version of the pistol brace rule, Bill.
Are you sort of reared back right now, revving your engine up for that one if it comes out there in the?
We're gassed up for a lot right now. We got plenty of gas.
Well, I some of this stuff that they push and everything.
Well, it's wildly illogical.
It is completely absurd. Yeah, I mean,
it makes you really scratch your head.
I want to know with the pistol brace why it was okay, however many times it's been okay, why now all of a sudden it's not okay.
This is fascinating because the reason we got into this whole position, the only reason that short-barreled rifles or short-barreled shotguns were ever regulated was because in the NFA they were trying to ban handguns, but they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it politically. But in that original draft that banned handguns, people said, well, what's going to stop somebody from just buying a rifle and cutting it down or buying a shotgun and cutting it down? So they said, oh, don't worry, we've got that. So they banned short-barrel rifles and shotguns. Then they take out the handgun ban and leave behind the thing that's designed to prevent you from getting around the handgun ban. Fast forward to Heller, which, you know, clearly states correctly that we have a fundamental right to keep a handgun, the most concealable weapon at all. However, if you make your rifle into something that is, you know, less concealable as a handgun, and what would the government consider to be a facsimile of a handgun, you get to go in a government cage for 5 years. That doesn't make any sense at all.
No, it doesn't. We are coming up on the first break. How would people find out about the Firearm Policy Coalition? Where would they go?
You go to gunpolicy.org. We're on all of your favorite social medias. The Twitter is a real hoot. Real hoot if you want to check out the Gun Policy Twitter.
And they now have an open invitation to come back to the show whenever they want to. But we're not done yet. We're going to talk to Matthew some more. When we get back, we're going to talk about the FPC recent lawsuit about in the city of San Jose. That's going to be hilarious just to get his take on it. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
21st century, the handgun has become the preeminent self-defense tool. At CNA Precision, we specialize in taking your weapon to the highest degree of functionality possible. With a complete array of goods and services specializing in red dot sight installation, CNA Precision will help you realize the most effective handgun the first time. If you need slide milling, installation, or accessories, go to chpws.com. CNH Precision. Welcome to the Boom Squad.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
From the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. We are talking to Matthew LaRussiere. He is the director of legal policy at the Firearm Policy Coalition. And normally, like if you get caught with a DUI, the judge can sentence you to have SR-22 insurance. And that works because somebody sells SR-22 insurance that exists. If you need something like bond or something, that'll happen because there's bail bondsmen out there ready. There's mechanisms in place for things they sentence you to. But in San Jose, They have decided that in order to own a gun, you have to have firearm owner's liability insurance, which, now, Matthew, you may know more about this than I do, but I just don't, does anybody actually sell that? Does anybody actually write that?
Well, I had read a lot of insurance carriers discussing it. I certainly haven't purchased a policy myself.
Right.
But yeah, no, this law is completely absurd. It's not only just the requirement that you obtain this insurance, which, you know, may or may not be cost prohibitive. It's that it poses a First Amendment problem as well, because the money that they're going to be collecting as a part of this law is going to go to an appointed nonprofit of the city's choosing. Now, that is effectively compelling gun owners to support this nonprofit.
Right.
That is compelled speech. So this
what is
law
that?
Is just wildly problematic.
So is the what does a nonprofit do? Is it an anti-gun nonprofit, a gun safety nonprofit?
So what the law says is that it is going to, this nonprofit is going to investigate ways to mitigate the damages caused by firearm ownership. So I don't know. Maybe they'll be giving us back the ammo, the money we spent on ammo. You know, that would be a good way to mitigate some of the damages.
That ammo shortage always upsets me. That is a big damage whenever my stash gets diminished.
I'm
having to suspend my disbelief in order to actually believe that would be possibly even ever a thing. The damage done due to gun ownership. Is San Jose some big gang center? Do they have a lot of drug activity there where they have a lot of shootings and everything?
I'm not entirely sure about, you know, San Jose's specific crime situation, but it doesn't matter because the people there have the same rights that anyone else has.
That is true.
You could have the wildest crime spree in history, and it doesn't mean that a human being there is not a human being that has the natural right to protect themselves against unlawful force. And in fact, of course, suffice to say that if, you know, let's say it is dangerous, wouldn't you want people to be armed there and to be able to protect themselves? And even the city has recognized it in writing that the criminals, which they allegedly have this big problem with, are simply going to ignore the insurance requirement.
They said that out loud, huh? They wrote that out loud or something.
It seems so.
So you guys have brought suit against this. Now,
yes, sir.
I know that I can't remember the mayor's name, but I know he was out there saying, we have the first of its kind, and all this other nonsense they came out with.
Yeah, I mean, you can be the first city to, you know, ban the Big Mac. It doesn't make it, you know,
right.
It doesn't make it good.
But they're basically, I mean, now, the application of law and the way some of these things get worked together fascinates me. And, I mean, if it was me, one of the things I would be out there saying, excuse me, Your Honor, but why would we pass a law that penalizes law-abiding people when they're and acknowledge that the lawbreakers, that ostensibly this is supposed to be, I don't know, mitigating,
right,
it's acknowledged that they're getting off scot-free from this. Why is this okay? Why is this legal? Why is this constitutional?
It's insane. And like the head of legal for FPC has gone on record saying that it's unbelievable that they thought they could get away with this for even a minute. This is one of those ones where it's really a hard head scratcher, and I know we've said that a lot, but unfortunately that's the state of the world we're operating in right now, where
right,
you know, you think you saw the dumbest thing you're going to see for the day, and then another politician gets on Twitter.
sometimes some of the laws they do come up with, though, I mean, this is like one where, you know, it reminds me of like if you had a trained chimpanzee as a weatherman and they were throwing feces against the mat, to see what stuck.
Yeah. It's like, it might rain here.
Yeah.
Or it might be feces.
Was this, I mean, nobody, when this was being debated in San Jose, nobody stood up and said, you know, this is unconstitutional. We can't really do this. This is violating more than just the Second Amendment here.
I'm sure someone said it. But, I mean, we say a lot of things to our government.
But you don't think anybody said it within the government itself?
You know, it's if I had the power to know what these people were thinking, I think my job would be a lot easier.
Yeah, well, your job would be over. You would take care of it and it'd be done. And now we could go back to putting cream in our coffee then. We could put cream in our coffee. So where is this lawsuit? Has it just been filed?
Well, so you can read all about it on the website. It is ongoing. There is a First Amendment claim and a Second Amendment claim. And, you know, if you all are interested in checking it out, just go ahead, Google Firearms Policy Coalition, and you'll be able to find it on there.
Are they trying to say that this is a tax or a fee or?
So I'm not sure what their theory is. You know, that'll come out more in litigation.
Uh-huh.
But as it seems to me, it's a requirement, right? It's a requirement to carry insurance. And there's certain money changing hands which winds up going into this nonprofit. It's certainly an odd one. It's certainly a head scratcher. It really makes you wonder whether they thought this one out before,
you know
passing
think,
this law.
You think to yourself that gun grabbers are just doing stupid stuff because they think that'll work, and then on the other hand they do something like this, and then you think, wow, they're just evil.
Well, we've gotten to the point now where they...
Hang on for me. We're going to the break, so tell everybody how to find the website again, please, sir.
Yeah, you can go to fpchq.org, or you can just go ahead and Google Firearms Policy Coalition.
We got a case coming up in the Supreme Court that seemed like it's leaning in the right direction. We're going to talk about that with Matthew when we get back. He's from the Firearms Policy Coalition. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis Quality Built American-made products for 45 plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing.
Go to mgs.edu.
MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is meeting with several small business owners to talk about the state of the economy for small businesses. The president once again criticizing the Republicans' tax plan and the impact it could have on small businesses.
Republican plan led by Senator Rick Scott of Florida, chairman of the National Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee, would tax half of our small business owners an extra $1,200 a year on average. Not only do they oppose making big corporations pay their fair share, they want middle-class families and small business owners to pay more.
The senator defending his plan, telling an audience at a Heritage Foundation event last month, Democrats are lying about the plan. Menthol cigarettes may soon be banned by the FDA, the agency hoping the banning of the product will help more smokers quit. And you're listening to USA Radio News. Google is taking requests to remove search results with personal information. The search result engine now has a form users can submit to hide pages that show information such as phone numbers, home addresses, or personal images. However, results won't automatically be removed. Requests must be considered, and there must be an explicit or implicit threat of abuse for it to go through. Marine veteran Trevor Reed, who was part of a prisoner exchange between Russia and the United States, is back on American soil. His mother, Paula, says this is an answer to prayers.
When they said something might be occurring this week, and I said, am I going to have a happy Mother's Day? And they go, well, we can't say, but just, you know, be ready. So, yes, it's a perfect Mother's Day.
A plane carrying Reed landed at San Antonio Air Force Base just after midnight. A small welcoming party was there to greet him. Reed is now getting checked over at Brooke Army Medical Center. This is USA Radio News.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer, excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
From the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. Right now on the horizon in about 60 days, I don't know when, we're going to hear something about something called the NYRS, RPA, New York State Rifle Pistol Association versus Bruin case. And, the Firearm Policy Coalition sort of led that one, pending that decision and everything. Talking to Matthew LaRusserier he is the policy director of all things legal there. What kind of shaping is this decision going to be? Is this going to be a local decision, do you think? Is this going to be a national decision? Does anybody have any idea? I don't think too many people have very much of an idea on that one.
Well, so it's very hard to say what the Supreme Court is going to do, but the effect of the actual decision immediately, of course, would be on the state of New York and their policy of saying you can only have a carry permit if you demonstrate particularized need, right? Which oftentimes in the jurisdictions that require that translates to you have a lot of money or you know somebody. So that of course is the immediate result. What's most important in the NYSERPA decision will be the Supreme Court finally announcing a standard, an actual standard, with which restrictions on the Second Amendment are to be measured against. And so we don't know exactly where that's going to land. But of course, we're hoping that they take the principled position to say that, you know, simple restrictions on the peaceable carrying and keeping of arms are per se violations of the right. Now, do we know what they're actually going to say? Not at all. But this is going to provide, we hope, the framework for all gun rights cases moving forward.
With the in the deliberations and the arguments and everything that was argued in front of the justices, it seemed like the justices were sort of skeptical of some of the things they were trying to talk about, you know, trying to point out, like, we don't want to have people armed in the subways. And was it Alito that got out there and said, oh, but you do have armed people in the subways, don't you? I don't remember which one it was, but somebody was making that point that you do have that because you have the criminal element.
Right. Of course. Now, it's very clear that they're frustrated with how the lower courts have handled these cases going forward, or up to now. Of course, they struck down D.C.'s effective handgun ban in Heller, and they put some guideposts, but they didn't put a strict framework. And almost immediately after Heller, you had all these courts all over the country, especially in the Ninth Circuit, you know, California, Hawaii, that twisted and contorted that to effectively destroy it, and to where you had very few gun laws being overturned. So I think it's clear to the court that we need a strong and clear standard to finally prevent these state and local governments from engaging in this ridiculous game of taking our rights away while pretending to be respecting them.
Heller and McDonald have never got the due they actually deserve as a precedent, have they? Because I keep comparing this to, you know, the law of the land, Roe versus Wade. That you know, since that decision, since they made that one up, that new right, that is always up in arms, very much a very concerted effort to keep that in place. But with Heller and McDonald, they just sort of seem to. That's when they go all 10th Amendment, isn't it? That's when they say, well, you know, then there's the reasonable regulation. And let me ask you a question about that from a legal standpoint. Did Scalia, when he was out there saying things like, well, you know, you can expect reasonable regulations to this, was that a little too vague?
Yes, and that's honestly. So it didn't actually approve. Heller did not approve any existing gun laws.
Right.
It said that they would have to be historically justified. And I don't even know if I agree with that. Personally, I believe any restriction on the simple possession of arms is unconstitutional and a violation of the natural right to keep and bear arms, you know, even irrespective of the Constitution. But the lower courts even took that and twisted and contorted and took all these little sentences from and little, you know, three words from here, four words from here, and twisted it to mean that, oh, well, you know, we can't ban handguns in the home, but, you know, maybe we can ban everything else, I guess. Right? So it was just not enough. Like, Heller was not clear enough. And I think the Constitution is pretty darn clear that you cannot ban the simple possession of arms. Period. What we'll see the court do, whether they'll have the stones to actually do that, or whether they will again be gun shy, remains to be seen.
I don't know. I keep thinking, and I mean, it's really I never wished anything bad happened to Ruth Bader Ginsburg, for example. But when they were talking about packing the court and everything, she sort of came out sort of feisty on that. And I wonder if the Supreme Court justices, all the associates out there, are saying to themselves, well, we've got to do what we should be doing and not worry about what they say about all this outside packing of the court. So I would hope
it's certainly not their job to take that into consideration.
Do you think that Roberts will get in, if it looks like it's going to be 5-4, will he get in there and jump in there too so he can control who's writing the majority statement?
I think that we're going to see a lot of concurring and dissenting opinions, and we may have a plurality decision that results in a very narrow holding, and that would not be good.
That would not be good.
I'm very concerned about that, and I'm just hoping. Well, it's just like with anything in government. All we can do is hope and pray that they do their job, which is to, you know, interpret and correctly give force to the Constitution, which says a government don't do that.
Right. Now, since it has gone as far as it has gone, is this the right case? Because they turned down how many cases in the last couple of years? How many gun cases have they turned down in the last couple?
Oh, so many. And, you know, we don't know exactly why, right? You know, there's all kinds of commentators that will opine on it, but the justices don't tell us why they voted a certain way, right? It might be because they thought the case was too broad. It might be because the standard wasn't announced yet. It might be because they were concerned with how their buddy might write on it, right? There are some justices that we know are very pro-gun that have voted not to hear gun cases.
Right.
And we don't know why. And I think what they were doing was looking for an area So, of course, the previous New York State Rifle and Pistol Association case was selected because it was very narrow. And the court, at least we assume, it was selected for that. And then New York played all those games to get that case mooted. So it's just such a wild situation now. There's plenty of cases on the docket that you know, could be taken up. But I think that what's important is for us to get a clear standard so that these lower courts, you know, these district courts and the circuit courts won't have any excuses to wiggle their way out of it.
Yeah. That I am looking, and one thing that I'm looking for, and we're going to talk about that in the next segment. There's a trend going on right now, and you guys intend to encourage that trend, but I'm wondering if this might lead to something bigger down the road if they continue to do this little game that you're talking about, where they sort of have a little confab together and say, we better not take this case because of this reason or that reason or whatever. But we're coming up on the last break in the hour. I'm talking to Matthew LaRussiere. He is with the Firearm Policy Coalition. How do they find you, please, sir?
At fpchq.org, or you can find Firearms Policy Coalition on any of your favorite search engines or social media websites.
I'm presuming that you guys are open to memberships. Is that right?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay. A very effective place to go join. A lot of bang for the buck. When we get back, we're going to talk about the trend of permitless carry, constitutional carry. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes, even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunnybay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
Do you fear getting COVID? I've had COVID 4 times over 2 years now, and it is very easy to eliminate from my body. We've all heard the several nutritional and medical recommendations on how to protect from COVID. However, no one is talking about the one I've found to be the most effective. I've had 2 clients debilitated with COVID symptoms for days or months take our Green Meadow Whey protein powder and feel either 100% well or much better in the first 24 hours. That's a faster recovery than offered by any medication or other nutritional supplement. Green Meadow Whey is naturally rich in the protein called lactoferrin. Non-denatured lactoferrin is a protein that binds to viruses and cell receptor sites so they cannot enter the cell, as well as defends the body against bacteria, fungi, parasites, and supports abdominal fat loss. I have found that nature always has a superior answer to any health challenge. Let Green Meadow Whey empower your body and immunity to the highest levels of health. To order, go to bestwheyprotein.net, that's bestwheyprotein.net, or call 888-988-3325.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
The Guns.com radio studio. This is Lock and Load. We've been speaking with Matthew LaRussiere. He is he's with the Firearm Policy Coalition. Half of the United States is permitless carry now, Matthew.
Yep. Half what the states.
What does that do in terms of anything they might try to pass gun prohibition-wise? With all of this, you know, it's just carry a gun. You don't need our permission to do it. What does that do as far as when the feds are looking at this kind of thing?
Well, I'm not sure there's a tremendous amount of interaction right now, but it does eliminate some of the chances that they can have to go sniffing. So that's great. And also, it just kind of sends the signal that the people are sick of this kind of stuff. The people want to be able to just have their mechanism of self-defense, to be able to be free in themselves and their possession, you know, as is our right. And I think it's an awesome trend, and I'm hoping to see it continue.
Now, 25 is pretty good. But what states are... What states are out there right now that are looking at this, considering this, pending this?
Oh, there's quite a few. I mean, it comes up in almost any jurisdiction that you can imagine is purple. Even, you know, it comes up just about every year in Florida. It comes up all over the country. Of course, there's some entrenched opposition that needs to be dealt with, and even what might surprise some of your listeners is that many sheriff's associations fight this off because they've got a narcotic effect that they enjoy, you know, seeing a gun being an excuse to check somebody. And so that's been a hard thing to fight. You know, we have to get them to stand down and let the people's rights be respected.
Now, I live in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And my state senator, my old state senator, he was very much a Republican. Very much against constitutional carry and open carry because of, and it was for purely stupid reasons, right? And his reason about open carry was the cops would not know who the bad guys were. His thing about permitless carry was that this would give criminals the right to carry a gun.
And, isn't that funny?
And I'm like, how did you get elected? I mean, I was very happy when he got unelected. Now,
right.
When you guys are looking at, do certain states, do you have certain politicians in various states that call you guys up and say, okay, what does this actually mean? What does this do? What is it like in other states? Because like in my state, that imaginary line that is the border is very opaque for them. They can't see what's going on in other states, it seems like.
Right. Yeah, I don't get involved in politics, really. I'm in policy, right? So but policy does write out proposed legislation and other materials to help those states that are unsure of how to do it, well, do it well the first time, right? So that's certainly something we put out there for those guys.
We make that
available to anyone who's looking to, you know, any staffer or what have you that's interested in adopting a parentless carry will, you know, we've got resources for them that I certainly hope they make use of.
Do you guys hear any of that stuff though when these politicians out there saying, well, this will mean that criminals, they won't be able to tell the difference between the criminal and the... And I told my senator, I was like, do you know how many criminals actually carry a holster? Carry a gun in a holster, which is less than 2%.
So why would they? They have the waistband.
Well, they have the waistband, plus, if you got a nice Raven concealment holster that's cut for a Glock, and you commit a crime with a Glock, and then you throw it aside, and they're like, hey, is this your gun? No, I've never owned one. What's that on your side there, son?
And it clicks in all nicely, right?
Clicks in nice. You got good retention. It's relatively new. Listen, I'm going to be keeping this one, but you're going to jail, son, because we have this. When you point this out, that just logic. For some politicians, like in Indiana, were you guys watching Indiana, how that worked out?
So the way they just randomly, after 5 days of nothing, decided to regulate homemade guns?
Well, no, I mean, but with permitless carry.
Oh, that was Illinois, sorry,
With permitless carry. They had it pending, and then the president of the Senate, who is a Republican, she got together with a bunch of other senators, and they were determined to kill this bill. They didn't want to see permitless carry happen in Indiana. And then they passed it because they got found out, and it became a public thing, and they were in deep, deep kimchi over that. And then they sent it to the governor, and the governor, it would become law anyway, whether the governor signed it or not after X amount of time. Then he signed it on the very last day.
Yeah, we thought that he was going to, it's the opposite of a pocket veto, right? That was a funny thing. I remember we were looking at that, and we were like, he's going to pocket sign it. And he wound up coming out and signing it. And I think the fact that he wound up coming out and signing it at the last minute shows just how unpopular these restrictions, these arbitrary involvements of government in our lives, in our the most basic thing, right? I don't think it should be so controversial. You know, how basic is it to think that if you've got a gun for self-protection, well, you'd like to carry it, wouldn't you?
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's so basic, and I'm glad to see it going the way it's going. I just wish it would go faster, and we aim to do what we can to help make that happen.
Do you think it might get to a point at some point, like if we all of a sudden had 36 states that were permitless carry, constitutional carry, whatever you want to call it? Isn't that the threshold for a constitutional convention at that point, 36 states?
That would be interesting. It would be really fascinating, and you know, I'd love to be there. And the question is, if you're going to hold a constitutional convention, I'd like them to do something a little more clear than just, you know, affecting carry. And this is something funny in one of my last jobs that somebody said, well, how would you make the Second Amendment better? And all he would say is, you amend the last, you amend it to end with, and we mean it.
Yeah, that would be good.
I think that would be a good amendment.
Either that or it would be really nice if everybody that wants to get out there and look at the Second Amendment and try to interpret it, if they were to understand the vernacular of the time.
Right.
Because we still, and I point this out all the time, in Vietnam we referred to the North Vietnamese as regulars. And the whole regulated part of it is about training equipping, uniform, rules, all the other things that have to do with their conduct. It has nothing to do with creating a law.
Yeah, well-regulated didn't mean there was a lot of clipboards.
No, no clipboards at all.
I wonder if the North Vietnamese had any clipboards.
They didn't have any clipboards. They just had like a little tube filled with some rice and fish heads and an RPG, and they'd wait all day and blow something up and then run back to go get another RPG and some more rice.
Right.
They were quite the impressive soldiers facing what they faced. But that's all beside the point. It's an interesting time, but at the same time, am I sensing the right thing when I think there's a shift going on as far as the perception of how the boon that, and I'm not going to have time. You know what? I'm not even going to ask you that, Matthew, because we don't have time to answer that. We're going
to
run out of time.
We'll have to save it for next time then.
We'll have to do it next time. And I mean, you tell Mr. Dement that the Firearms Policy Coalition can always be on here. Coming on this show, being a part of Lock and Load, I would love that. I tried to get a hold of you guys for a little bit of time, and then things happened. But Dan reached out to me, and now I got you here, and I do appreciate that. Tell everybody how to find you once again.
Well, yes, sir, yes, again. You can find Firearms Policy Coalition at fpchq.org. You can find FPC is on all of the social medias that you might be on, and I am on there as well. Personally, Matt Law at Law, that's MattLaatLaw.
FPC is lightweight, fast, agile, and they hit hard. Go check them out, give them a look, maybe join them. They could use it. Thank you for joining me today, sir.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure, and thank you all so much for your time and attention.
Hour number two is inbound. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard. What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expansive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world, and that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.